section, that there should be a focus of building up the church with a concept that is very central to the gospel. And that concept is love, of course. So we're going to dive into that a bit today. The idea is that love will compel believers to use their roles and gifts within the church to serve and to seek the well-being of others. So love is a really big theme throughout the New Testament and definitely through the chapters we're going to look at today. And then Paul's letter concludes with chapter 15, which talks about the importance of the resurrection, and then 16 is just his final greetings to them. Now that we've kind of gone through a quick overview, I'm going to start reading. We're going to read chapter 12, starting at verse 12, and I'll read through the rest of that chapter, and then we'll talk about that before we move into chapter 13. Just for reference, I'm going to be reading from the NLT version today, just because I like how it is put. It's not necessarily my favorite one to study out of, but I like how, when I'm just reading, it's easy to understand. So that's where I'm going to read from today. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I am not part of the body because I am not the hand," that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, "I am not part of the body because I am not an eye," would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, "I do not need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I do not need you." In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the highest or the greatest care. So we carefully protect all the parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all of the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all of the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all of the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some parts that God has appointed to the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now, let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Paul is using a metaphor about our body to emphasize a few things about the church being the body of Christ. A couple points to note here is that there is a great need for diversity within the church, and there is also a great need for unity within the church. Paul touches on both of these things. So let's first talk about diversity within the body of Christ. Now, I think if we were to be honest, we all like diversity and variety. Can you imagine going through a week and eating the same meal at every mealtime? Even if it's something that you really like, I bet by the end of the week it would start to get a little bit old. We like variety. We like that diversity. Well, likewise, can you imagine what church would be like if we were all exactly like Jake? It would be pretty great, right? Or if we were all like Kelvin or all like Andrea. I mean, don't hear me wrong. Each one of these people are absolutely amazing. But the church would not be able to function properly if everybody had the exact same giftings and played out in the same roles. Church just wouldn't function properly. So this is one of the points that Paul is trying to make here. The church in Corinth was full of people trying to act out the same gifts. They wanted to look important. They wanted to look more spiritual than some of the other people there. They wanted to be look as spiritual as possible. They had a focus on themselves, and so they tried to use their spiritual gifts, or these spiritual gifts maybe that they didn't even have, to try to look like they were a big shot. But let's face it, we can't all look as spiritual as Jake. We just can't. But it doesn't mean that we're any less important. If we are doing the role that the Spirit has gifted us for and commissioned us to do, then we are equally as important as every other part of the body. So diversity is important. Now, the second thing I mentioned that Paul was really emphasizing was unity. And this runs throughout large parts of Paul's writings. You see that even though we're all individuals in this passage, individual parts of the body with our own giftings and our own roles to play, we all come together to form one body of believers. In verse 18, it said, "But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body." Let me ask you guys this morning this question. Have you ever broken a bone or hurt yourself seriously before? Anybody? Vanessa? Yeah. I think most of us have. Can I put someone on the spot? Can you tell me what you hurt, if you don't mind? Or what you broke?
Pelvic bone.
Oh, man. That would be a big one. So I have hurt myself a couple times as well. And I'm sure you know from your experience that when you hurt yourself, sometimes you just can't do the things that you're used to doing. I tore the ligaments in my ankle. I did it twice. And the last time that I did it, at the same time, my oldest son fractured his ankle, so we were on crutches together. It was a little bit chaotic in our house, but it was kind of funny. So all the things that you are used to doing, you know, I have crutches, and I think, oh, I can still do that. I think I could still get out of the vehicle, drive here, go into the store, get milk, you know, something fairly simple, but I just couldn't do it. I couldn't carry things with my crutches. I couldn't take my oldest son along to carry things for me because he was also on crutches, and it ended up that Vanessa had a lot of work to do during that season of our lives. She took great care of us. But all of the parts of the body are very important. They serve very different roles, but they all come together to play a role in our body. Psalm 139 talks about us being fearfully and wonderfully made, and it says that we are all knitted together in our mother's womb. Well, as a body of believers, it works very much the same. God has put us all together. And if you look back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, which was the verse right before we started at, it talks about the Spirit being the one that distributes all of our spiritual gifts to us within the body. The unity that comes from this type of service is far greater. So when we're actually able to come together and use the gifts that God has given us, and doing the roles that God has commissioned us to do, it creates unity among us, because we're serving others rather than serving ourselves. So the unity that comes from this type of service is far greater than if we were all exactly like Jake. Now, we need Jake. We need Calvin. We need Andrea. We need each and every one of you here. We need all of you to be who God has created you to be, to use the giftings that he has given you to use. They're all going to be different than what the giftings I have, but we all have giftings God has given us, and we have roles that he's commissioned us to do, and if we're doing those things to serve the body and encourage one another, it will bring about unity. So this leads me into one more point before we move into chapter 13. We need to be involved in the body. There seems to be a bit of a trend since COVID, and maybe I just didn't notice it as much before COVID, but it seems like people are a little more willing to just stay home on a Sunday morning because they can sign in, stream a service live, or listen online, and they still get to hear the word. They get to partake in worship, even though they are at their homes. And it's just becoming more and more prevalent. Now, I realize that there are people that can't attend church on Sundays because of health reasons or work or various other activities that they have to do, and that's okay. I'm not knocking that. I think it's amazing that they can still sign in and be part of the body in that way, hear from the word and worship God. I think that's great. The technology is good. But I think there are people who are able to come and gather together as a body, and if they choose not to come, I think that hurts the body. Now, you may be thinking there are lots of ways to be part of the body throughout the week and that Sunday morning is not the definition of the church. Well, you are right. But Paul, in this passage, is specifically addressing us gathering together to worship. He's talking about things like a Sunday morning service, where you're coming together to build each other up, to teach and worship together. So in the context of this passage, he is saying it's important for the whole body to be serving each other. But in order for that to happen, we have to be together. I mean, you wouldn't go out and leave your foot at home, right? The whole body is healthier when it is actually all together. In verse 25, which we read, it says, "This makes for harmony among the members, so that all of the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all of the parts are glad." We come together and we support each other, we celebrate with each other, we mourn with each other, and we serve each other. So I think it's important for us to look at these things. We're going to look at chapter 13. This is going to be brief because I know I've already been talking a little while here, and there's a lot in this chapter as well that we could dig into, but I'm going to read through it. I think it's important following chapter 12, which is why I'm doing this whole thing together. Now, Paul has a reason he put 13 after 12, and it's not just because of the numbers. I don't think he numbered them. But Paul put a chapter after a chapter. So the first chapter we looked at was based on spiritual gifts or spiritual diversity in our giftings and unity in the body. And now he's writing a chapter that has become known as the chapter of love. And I think that's significant, so let's look at why. So starting at verse 1, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. but the greatest of these is love. Love is a key theme that runs right through the scriptures. It's very prevalent in the New Testament, and in this letter that Paul is writing to Corinth, it is a theme that runs all the way from chapter 8 right through 14. He designates a full chapter to it here because he really wants to emphasize the importance of our love for God and for those around us being our motivation of how we live and how we live out those gifts. The believers in Corinth were trying to look spiritual and trying to look important. They were serving themselves and not thinking of how they could build up the body and to serve other people within the body. Because of their lack of love for the rest of the body, their gatherings became chaotic, and Paul said that he was worried that they were not able, that the people there were not able to hear and understand the gospel message, which in turns was really hurting the body, it turns out. Now, I think we'd all be able to think of some examples of people who have lived this out. Someone who has done something with the motivation to look more important or to look more spiritual. I know for me, it wasn't really hard to think of an example because I have that example in myself. I know that I've been guilty of this in the past. One time when I was in youth group, I was young, and my youth pastor came to me and told me, "Hey, guess what? We've noticed something with you. You have a gift of being able to reach people that are on the fringe. So people that come to youth group and don't really feel like they fit in, you've got a great way of going to them and making them feel included." Wow, that was pretty great to hear. However, I definitely let it go to my head. And the very next gathering, there was a new kid there. Whoa, right on. He wasn't being involved, he wasn't participating, and I thought, wow, this is my opportunity to grace this kid with my friendship. So I went over there and I started talking to him. But while I talked to him, I tried to make sure that my youth pastor could see that I was talking to him. And I tried to make sure that we moved around so that we were, oh, that leader got to see me, that leader got to see me. Look at what I'm doing. Look at this gift I have. Well, I don't remember how the conversation with this young guy went. But I can tell you with certainty that my motivation was 100% on myself. Self-serving through and through. And it was not out of love for this young man, and it was not to show him Christ's love. Well, if we were to fast forward, that young man never came back to youth group. I don't know the reasons why. I did bump into him down the road. We'd, you know, pass each other, and I would say hi and give him a wave, and he would just ignore me, wouldn't even respond. And so I really have no doubt that my motivations were probably quite obvious to him and that he just didn't have the time for me because I was just a selfish jerk. Well, Paul says that love is more important than any of the other gifts. Without love, they mean nothing and serve no real purpose, just like my interaction with this young guy. The idea that runs through these two chapters that we looked at today is this. God has made us all completely unique with a wide range of giftings, which he bestows upon us. And if we use those giftings as a motivation to love and build up the people in the body of Christ and to serve the people in the body of Christ, then we end up building up unity within the church. We all have a role to play when we gather, whether it's preaching, leading worship, emceeing, teaching Sunday school, being a Sunday school helper, taking care of the sound, making coffee, greeting people when they come in, doing all the admin work so that the service can go off without a hitch. Maybe it's praying for people that need prayer, or even just saying hi to someone who needs to say hi, needs that conversation. There are many more roles than even what I've listed here today, but they're all important. Now, God has given each person spiritual gifts. He has gifted each person here with a variety of gifts and abilities to serve in each of these roles. So if we can live, or so that we can live the best way possible, so that we can live in love together, in a unified body, as a healthy body of believers. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have created us and you've made each one of us. I thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you've given us. And Lord, I thank you that we aren't all the same, that you've made us all so differently, and that you use each of us in different ways so that we can properly reflect different aspects of you. Pray that you would be with each one here, that you would help us to understand how much you love us, and therefore that we can love others because of the love that you have for us. And so I pray that as we go forward today, that we would be able to serve in the body of believers here and in our community as we go from here and reflect you well, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Sam. Why don't we stand and just sing this song, and we'll be doing communion right after here. So.
You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at this saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. I'm full of praise once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend.
So today we have the privilege of partaking in communion. You can be seated. I'm just going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 26, where it says, "For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance, or do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So today we're going to be partaking in the sacrament of communion together. Now it's fitting because we have just been talking about love and unity, and there is no greater love than what was shown to us by Jesus when he came and gave his life on the cross for us. Communion serves as a solemn moment for believers to reflect on Jesus' sacrifice and to express gratitude for the profound redemption and forgiveness of our sins achieved through his death and resurrection. It is also an act that signifies unity among believers in the body of Christ, illustrating shared faith, fellowship, and a communal bond. So if you acknowledge that Jesus died and rose again and confess that he is your Lord and Savior, I invite you to join us in remembering through communion this morning. We have the elements up front here, and so as the worship team plays through a song, I'm going to invite each one of you to come up, grab a piece of bread, grab the cup, and then we'll go back to your seat, and once everyone's seated, I'll lead us through and we'll partake together. All right. Jake, would you mind coming up? Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your sacrifice, that you sent your Son to die for us, and that he rose from the dead, defeating sin. I pray, Lord, as we go from here, that we would just really be able to learn more about you and understand your love, and that we could show that love to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Why don't we stand and sing Victory in Jesus once more, first one in the chorus, and then it'll be lunchtime.
I heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Savior forever, he sought me. redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Lord, we do thank you for the victory that you won for us on the cross and in life. That you were with us, you walk with us, you guide us and guard us in your truth, you keep us in your loving care. We do thank you for that. Father, as we prepare to have a meal together, we just pray that you would bless that food, nourish our bodies with it, bless the hands that prepared it, bless our fellowship, and we just give you much thanks for that. And as we leave this place later, I just pray you go before us in our week and just walk with us again, guiding us in your truth and your love. Be blessed and be honored, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So please feel free to stay. We don't want to bring anything home, so...